The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. And welcome. You know, there's a lot going on in the world right now, a lot of things weighing heavy on the heart. If you're sitting at home today and doing the right thing by staying home, I want you to know that you have a virtual hug coming right through the radio, right through the computer from me to you, and that you are doing the right thing for yourself and for your family. There are a lot of people that are being affected by COVID-19, and it's coming closer and closer to home with friends of my own losing loved ones and friends of my own on the front lines. So I hope that this show today will give you a moment to step away and find something positive to focus on. We're going to talk about an issue that is often an underlying cause for illness, and one that goes missed many, many times. And it's something that could be lurking in your own home, in your own garden, really something that we've all been exposed to at one time or another. And with me today to talk about this interesting and complex topic is Dr. Emily Hecker, DCCNC of Enlighten Functional Medicine. Dr. Hecker, are you on the line?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. I'm so excited to have you back on the show. You've been on the show before, and for anyone that's listening that would like to check in and see what we've talked about in the past, we've talked about some fun things, right, Dr. Hecker? I mean, some SNPs, some MTHFR,
yes.
Lots of hormone balancing and different things. So go check that out online, soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal anytime. You can pull up this and other episodes of the show. Dr. Hecker, today we're going to talk about mycotoxins.
Yes. The topic mycotoxins, and that's a topic not many people know about unless they've been researching or that they've heard more about this.
Yeah, and you know, it was interesting. So I'm a part of the St. Louis Institute for Integrative Medicine, SLIM, SLIIM.org, if you want to check that out and check out some of the wonderful resources on there, such as Dr. Emily Hecker. And we've had a couple of different sessions where, you know, all of these medical professionals that are gathering together in this group, we have the good fortune of learning from some of the top experts in the field. And thank you to Kristen Brokaw, who puts on phenomenal events, educational events for all of us around the area. But mold and mycotoxins came up a couple of times recently, and I was just absolutely fascinated. And it just so happened that the educational, the bits that I was getting were coinciding with some cases that I was seeing where I was having, as an integrative health coach, people that were coming to me that had decades-long cases of just mystery illnesses that no one seemed to be able to pin down and diagnose what was really going on beneath the surface. They just had all of these complicated and sometimes bizarre symptoms. And so happening to come across that information and getting in touch with you, and I just happen to know that you were an expert in this field, and being able to send them your way, I've seen some amazing things come out of the work that you've done with them. So let's start by talking about what is a mycotoxin, because it sounds real fancy, and basically it's mold, yes?
Yes, it is. It does sound fancy.
It does. You know, it's a big fancy word.
When you break it down, though, just like in Latin or words, you know, then you can kind of make sense of it. But what it is when we get exposed to these different molds, say, like, for instance, in our homes or even outside, but mainly it's going to be in our homes. That's where people are exposed to these, through water damaged buildings. And especially here in St. Louis, you know, we get a lot of humidity. We get a lot of rain. We're by the Mississippi River, so we get more of the water that sits in it. It will just make its way into our homes. And if it's not cleaned out properly, it can cause a soup of just chaos of toxins. And so what happens with mycotoxins, what that is we inhale these mold spores, which are actually pretty large. They're pretty decently large, and they hang out in our sinus cavity. These spores are living, and they're called, also known as biotoxins, meaning living toxins, and they pump out these toxins. So these mold spores that we inhale hang out in our body, and then they pump out toxins. our body's job is to eliminate these toxins from circulating around in our body. Some people can eliminate them just beautifully, but then some people, genetically speaking, or just lots of inflammatory processes are impeding this detox pathway. It doesn't get out. And so these toxins circulate, and they basically poison us. And we need help identifying what these are and how to get them out of our body.
Okay. So you get exposed to mold, you breathe it in, or you take it in some way, right? And it can actually live and proliferate in your body?
It can, yes. It can. And there's lots of practitioners, medical doctors, DCs, nurse practitioners this is their practice, like all over the world. I'm in a community called ISEAI, and ISEAI.org to find a practitioner that is working with patients, you know, that they think they've been exposed to mold, and they're living with these issues. A lot of times it goes hand in hand with Lyme disease, because these mold patients have so many different complex symptoms that you might be talking with your friends and they think, oh, you have Lyme disease. They do. They do seem very similar with it, but it's a matter of really differentiating and doing a good, solid clinical history taking and seeing where were you exposed to these. Is it possible? Like you said before, it can come from food, believe it or not. And food sources that have this mold are going to be transported when they have more likelihood of mold to grow on them. So think of grains. Grains are being harvested, they're being stored, they're being transported, and they have room for mold to grow on them. So grains, even coffee can have some of these. So there's lots of other foods out there. I know Jill Carnahan, she's a medical doctor, and she is one of the frontline practitioners on mold in the body. She has a mold-free diet that you can even go out there and Google Jill Carnahan's mold-free diet, and it will show you some of the foods that are more likely to have mold on them as well.
Okay, and when we talk about a mold-free diet, so, you know, you've touched on grains. What are some of the other possible culprits here?
Anything that's going to have fungal associated with it as well. So think mushrooms. So mold is going to be a fungal component of our body. And when we eat more of these fungal types of foods, it can add to the fungal load in our body. Think of our body, and this goes back into histamine intolerance too. You may have heard of this, or you may not have for your listeners, but histamine, and that's one of the reasons I got into mold and identifying it with patients, is because they would come into me with all these different random symptoms. And a histamine intolerance, that could be rashes, it could be headaches and migraines, it could be loose stools and diarrhea, it could be heart palpitations. It affects so many different aspects of the body, of the systems of the body. And those histamines, think of them like, I use analogy like Pac-Man, you know, the game from, you know, the 80s.
Yes, ma'am.
So Pac-Man, you need to gobble up all the little points, the Pac-Man that's eating. And so if your body doesn't have enough Pac-Man to gobble up all the histamine points, you are going to have an overload of these symptoms. So you might show as presenting as lots of sinus issues when you eat certain foods. You may even have stomach cramps, and you've been to the medical doctors, you've been down every route, and you're finding, man, I'm really trying to get this. I got my diet in order, maybe, and you're still having these symptoms. So combining that histamine approach, if you do have these symptoms associated with histamine, we have to start thinking in terms of why. Why do you have this overload of things, and is it coming from a mold source that you're consuming?
Okay, so you've touched on some of the common symptoms, and we've touched on some of the foods that might be contributing. You know, I'm also thinking things like, you know, most people are familiar with black mold, and we know that mm-hmm. that's bad, right? So
right.
Does that also fall into this category, and what are the symptoms? Is it different? How is it different?
So Stachybotrys is usually known for the black mold. You hear that. That's the bad stuff, and it is. It's very toxic. There's aspergillus. There's penicillium. You can get your home tested for these things too, but with the tricky part here, with what I'm working with, is I'm dealing with patients, people that are ill because of this. So, say when you go and you get exposed to or you find, you know, you're redoing your master bathroom and you find, oh, shoot, we have some mold in there under the tile. We need to call and get some mold remediation. Or you're moving and you're finding that as you remove some of the walls or you're getting an inspection, they identify some mold. Some people react negatively to that mold and some people don't. And so we need to be able to get in there and really identify it and to be able to come up with some ways to eliminate it. So how I approach it, there's two different ways, really. There's approach that I can come and help clean the body out with my knowledge of functional medicine and physiological changes to toxins. And then there's a component of getting it out of your home. And that's another huge topic, especially in the world of remediation, which is a large topic.
Okay, so let's say someone is in there and, you know, for instance, this happened with us. We moved last fall. We pulled up some carpet and we were having the flooring, you know, fixed and replaced. And afterwards, they let us know that they had found some black mold, just a tiny spot of black mold. Now, granted, thankfully, in our situation, very small. We had professionals in there. They remediated, they removed, they took care of the spot. But, you know, what's your advice for someone if they, you know, are having some odd symptoms and then all of a sudden as they're doing some renovation, they find this? I mean, should they be calling someone to come in and test to see exactly what type of mold is present before they have that removed? Or do you have any tips along those lines?
You know, I think that's it's a great topic because I would recommend professional remediation. I think that's key. They're looking for things that you don't normally look for. One of the things that I've found that they look for is what's going on in your HVAC, what's going on in your vents, and if you have it cleaned out, is it being cleaned out properly? There's indoor environmental professionals, also known as IEPs, that are trained to look at the environment in a totally different way that we do. They have basically consults that they can come into your house and see what's going on or your business and see what's going on there. Do you need to remediate if you find that piece of mold in under your carpet? I would say call the professionals in. I'm not a professional. You know, we're not. I mean, we're not. And that's not our business, you know, so do the best you can with what you got. If you start experiencing symptoms is where it comes into play. So, and this is where people end up in my office because one, they have probably some genetic polymorphisms or ways that the body doesn't clear these toxins. And I work to help their body clear the toxins out of their body more effectively. So some people are more sensitive to it. You might find that when you pull that up in your home that maybe you're getting a little lightheaded or brain foggy, but your husband and your kids weren't. And it's like, that's where the miscommunication goes in because families can have different responses to mold. And I see this quite a bit and it's frustrating because mom may have a reaction, but dad and kids don't, or one child does and mom does and, you know, the other families don't. So if someone in your family is feeling sick because of some remediation or you live in an old building, and it has a history of being remediated, it's possible that it even wasn't remediated properly. So we have to keep that under our thought processes too.
Absolutely. Extremely important. And I have to say, in my past of dealing with multiple autoimmune diseases and some mental health challenges, I'm glad that you touched on not just the physical, you know, the mental symptoms mm-hmm. that might be going on, and sometimes even emotional symptoms tied to mold and mycotoxin infection.
You know, Amanda, it's really, really interesting that one of the main symptoms that I see with mold is super high anxiety. Anxiety is one of the top ones. So that's something that in our differentials, when doctors meet with patients that are experiencing multiple different symptoms, we have to consider that, why is the anxiety so high? Is it that you're being exposed to more toxins? We have to keep that in the... That in the differential. I do see that. I very much see that. So
absolutely. And so, all right, you've got someone that you suspect has, you know, we've got this kind of seemingly sometimes random barrage of symptoms and different things going on. But say you suspect that there's a mycotoxin issue, you know, underlying the case. And then where do you go from there in terms of testing and getting started with your process in functional medicine?
Right. So testing, this is tricky because there's been a lot of advances over the just the past 5 years, even with what do we do. Dr. Richie Shoemaker, he's a medical doctor that has been really leading the whole community with mold research from, oh gosh, I don't know when he started doing this, maybe the past 20 years or so. But there's lots of ways to look into this. One of the things that I promote and I do in my practice is looking at urine mycotoxin testing. What this does is it looks at the specific mycotoxins that are being cleared from your kidneys and it comes out in the urine. And so that gives us a clue. It's not the full-grown answer, but it's just a clue that says, okay, you are having some clearance issues. Some of these toxins come out and it's showing that your body is retaining them. So what that's telling me as a practitioner is we need to work on detoxification. We need to safely detox you, not detox too fast because it can make you feel worse if you're doing that. And we need to make sure that we're doing it properly. So urine mycotoxin is one type of testing. There's other blood tests that are out there as well. There's certain tests that Dr. Richie Shoemaker promotes, and there's MSH, there's VIP, there's all these other ones. The problem with those, Amanda, as someone who's coming from this, who's maybe spent a lot of time and energy and effort in their health already, and finances are hard, their budget is maybe limited, those specific blood tests that are typically done are very expensive. And they're typically not covered by insurance. So that's hard for me as a practitioner. I want to help people. That's what I do. So if we can get some clues instead of spending thousands of dollars that are necessarily not necessary, those things, those tests, those blood tests, they're not going to say that you have been exposed to mold. What they're going to say is that you have inflammation from a chronic inflammatory response. And we don't know what that response is, but you have a response to it. So I would rather know some concrete evidence saying, okay, we do have some of these Stachybotrys or Penicillium, Aspergillus type things in your urine that we need to proceed with treatment.
Okay. All right. So urine testing. Now, I've also heard that mold can develop and remain in the sinuses. Is that true?
I believe it is. Yes.
Is there a way to test for that?
There is a way. Some of the testing that I use is going to be a nasal swab. What this nasal swab does, and it's a company called, I am not remembering the name of the company right now.
I know that feeling. Yeah. There's just a few things going on in the world right now. You know, it's okay.
I know. What that does is a nasal swab that the patients will do themselves. They'll stick the swab up their nose and they'll send it out to a lab in Pennsylvania. This lab will look at Marcans, which is different strains of toxins that are bacteria that they're finding that are resistant to the antibiotics. So they'll look for different bacteria. They'll look for fungal in the sinuses. They look for the Marcans. So that's a type of nasal test that's going out, that lots of patients are doing it. So the treatment for that, once you get that back, once you get those results back and say, okay, you do have some methicillin-resistant bacteria or you do have some fungal overload in your sinuses, then that's when we really need to pair up and we need to see who are we working with and what can we do. Some people, so I'm not a prescribing doctor. I can't prescribe medication. I'm a DC. I work with supplementation and diet and lifestyle changes. So I've teamed up and there's other great, amazing doctors here in St. Louis that can prescribe if we need to get to that route of prescription nasal sprays. And those are going to be some antifungal nasal sprays. You can even use silvercillin, which is a component that helps get in there. There's particular brands and the parts per million of the silver that goes in there and inhaled in the sinus cavity can kill stuff. I see it as kind of like a big jackhammer that gets in there. So it's going to create more debris, kind of alluding to the fact or analogizing as a tornado going through the body. We have a lot of debris that we need to clear out of the system so it doesn't cause more chaos in there. So that's one way to do it.
Okay. And then talking about, let's talk about some of the ways that you're treating mold that might be in the gut and in other areas of the body. So, you know, I've heard of binders. Can you tell us a little bit about what you mean when you say like a binder for this process?
What is a binder? Mm-hmm. Yeah, binder. So a binder is going to be something that's very sticky. So it's going to stick to something. And there's different types of these binders out there. So they can come in food form. One of the most ironic but interesting pieces of food that's a binder can be okra. And there's research in the literature pointing to this. So okra can be a great thing if you've been exposed to mold. If you think you've been exposed to mold, that's something you can include in your diet.
Well, and, you know, I was thinking about planting okra this year. So now that's happening.
I would do it.
Thank you. Good to know.
Okra can be very, very helpful to us. And I love that piece. So okra is some food source that can be binding. Other thing that can be helpful with binding is fiber. So any fibrous types of foods, I know there's a plant called cognac root or propylmanin. That's something that I use in my practice that can be very helpful to sticky. So it's a very sticky type of fiber. And we want to bind on, we want these toxins that are coming out of our gallbladder, we want it to stick onto something so you can basically eliminate it. So you can poop it out. And that is another one. Some of the other binders, and there's lots of them out there, but the one that I find that gets best use is activated charcoal, which you might have heard of. It's pretty, as long as you're getting a good clean source of it. So activated charcoal, there's bentonite clay that's out there as well. So these act to bind to things. Think of it, I use an analogy as like a big long strip of duct tape that you have. So you have this long strip of duct tape, which would be the binder. And we want all of these toxins to be shot out and to be stuck on that big piece of duct tape. So then you can just poop that duct tape out, basically, so you can get it out of the body. So that's how I look at this in terms of explaining these things, because sometimes we don't have the capability to have the enzymes properly to get them out. So binders are extremely helpful if you have been exposed. And it's one of the first steps that I actually use to test people on and say, hey, have you been on a binder? Have you been activated charcoal? How did you feel when you're on it? Because that's another balancing act too. You may feel really great on the binder at first, or maybe you don't. So we need to balance that out once we identify that, yes, indeed, you are dealing with mycotoxin illness, biotoxin illness, and we need to progress with treatment.
Okay. And then talking about some nutritional, like some nutrients, some supplements, some other things that might be affected by this mycotoxin infection, you might need to ramp up. I've heard things about B6 and certain others.
Yes. Yes. So we need to help the liver, really. Essentially, that's the goal, is to help the liver make bile, to have the bile stored in the gallbladder. If you still do have a gallbladder, if you don't, we need to help promote the making of bile and the elimination of bile acids, because those toxins, and I'm saying that because this conversation is in terms of toxins, but also hormones that we have. We have excess hormones that we're trying to get rid of, especially women who are going through menopause and they have extra estrogens, or people who have lost weight. This is another key thing. If you have clients, or if you're listening and you've lost a ton of weight, whether you're doing keto, whether you're just doing something else, you know, you've lost weight, we got to think of in terms of what's coming out of that cells, and that's recirculating because estrogens and toxins come out of that. So we need to bind those things up and move them along out of the body.
So important. And I want to touch on, now I've never really asked this question, but with regard to gallbladders, you hear so many people having the gallbladder removed. Is there a possibility that mycotoxins are involved in any sort of issues with the gallbladder in general?
I wouldn't doubt that. You know, I work from an open mind, you know, as far as I think that's very possible. I think a lot of these gallbladder issues are just these microbes that can move into different places of the body. And really cause the gallbladder sluggishness. But also if we're not eating properly, if we don't have all those particular enzymes working, if we have inflammation in our body because we're eating a more sugar-based diet, that's going to impact the ability for the body to detox and get those bile acids formed and then get them squirted out properly through the body. Something else, you know, you mentioned on those B vitamins, we need those for our liver to function. We're talking folate. We're talking B9, which is folate, B12, B6. Those are key getting the liver moving better so we can make those bile acids and secrete them out and get the toxins out.
And so much of that goes back and ties in with our previous conversation on MTHFR and genetic SNPs. So again, want to point people toward that wonderful conversation that we had with Dr. Emily Hecker back a few months ago. It's on soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal, and you should go and check those out. She's such a wealth of knowledge. And I just want to thank you for being with us today. We've just got a couple minutes left, Dr. Hecker, but could you let people know how they can reach out to you and how they could work with you?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Amanda. If people are wanting to learn more, I'm social, and you can find me, especially in the social distancing, you can find me online. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Emily STL. I'm on Facebook, which is Enlighten STL, or Enlighten Functional Medicine. And you can find me on my website and just go to enlightenstl.com.
And I'm glad that you mentioned Facebook, because we've been, unfortunately, you're not able to be here because of social distancing right next to me, and I don't get to see your lovely face. I always enjoy our time together. But people can go and catch the live broadcast, Facebook Live, at facebook.com/getrealtoheal of this episode and other episodes as well. So I want to thank you for leading me into that. And I want to just again thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge. I'd love to have you on again sometime and expand upon this conversation.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hope your listeners enjoyed.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great day. And, you know, I want to just end the show by, again, thanking you for tuning in, letting you know that I'm here to answer any questions that I can during this time and really always. I'm always looking for interesting topics and things that you'd like to hear more about here on Get Real to Heal. So if you have any ideas or if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. I, like Emily, am social, and you can find me on Facebook or Instagram at Get Real to Heal. You can also find me on LinkedIn and, again, at Facebook, on my personal page at A.K. LaPlante. And as an integrative health coach, now more than ever, I just want to remind you to be taking care of your health, get good sleep, connect with people that you love in the appropriate ways, of course, but reach out and get that mental support and that emotional support that you need. Be there for one another, and if you need anything at all, just reach out to me. I'm here, and I want you to make it a great day. And if I can help you with, you know, if I can help you with an integrative health coach consultation or, gosh, any kind of information I can share just to be of support right now, my heart goes out to everyone. And make sure that you're making decisions out of love, not out of fear, but be there for one another, love one another, and go make it a great day.